Hi, and welcome to this episode of Teen Health Matters. This is Dr. Jacqueline Dujay with my co-host, Shanae Vicks.
Good morning.
So today we have four special guests to talk with us today about challenges and opportunities facing Howard County teens. We're going to go around and have them introduce themselves.
Good morning. My name is Valerie Harvey, and I am with the Office of Children and Families, and I am the Adolescent Resource Specialist. And I also receive calls for grandparents who are raising grandchildren and wear a lot of hats in terms of working with a lot of the organizations and boards that advocate for youth here in Howard County.
Hello, I'm Corey. I work in the office of the local children's board. I work with a lot of the community programs that we do. So I work with Achieve 24/7, with our community engagement efforts, our youth engagement efforts.
Good morning. My name is Colleen Nestor. I'm a social worker for the Howard County Health Department. I supervise adolescent health and injury prevention programs. I've been with the county for about 15 years now doing programming for youth and adolescents and working with families.
Hi, my name is Heidi Griswold. I'm one of the community engagement coordinators at Hope Works of Howard County, which is the county's rape crisis and domestic violence intervention and prevention agency. My role is prevention, focusing on youth, which means having tough conversations about dating violence and consent to work to end that in our community.
So what do you think are the major issues that Howard County teens are facing today?
A lot of the high school students that I work with, I think, are overscheduled and overstressed with their workload. So juggling that kind of lifestyle. I particularly also work with young parents, so first-time young moms who are 19 and younger. So their schedules are even doubly challenged because they have children they're trying to raise while they're going to school. I think just the fast pace of today is putting them through a lot of stress.
I agree with the fast pace, but I also think that if we're talking about the adolescent age, that some of that hasn't changed in terms of adolescents just wanting their independence, and the fact that they are striving to try and balance academics and personal life, which can be very stressful for them.
And so I'd actually echo both Colleen and Valerie. I think there's a level of just dealing with being an adolescent no matter where you are in the whole developmental stage of just trying to find out what life is. But then I think that when you add the pressure of living in Howard County, I think that makes it super special because we are the number one or number three place to live in America. So this idea of striving for perfection in every area of their life, in addition to just trying to just navigate life, I think is a special challenge for our adolescents.
So building upon all of those things, in HopeWorks, what we're looking at is the fact that nationwide, one in three adolescents are a victim of sexual, physical, verbal, or emotional abuse from a partner at some point during their teen years, right? And so the way we kind of condense that down is problems for teens understanding and articulating boundaries in relationships. And it's certainly more than that, but that's the angle that we often come at it from. So if they're struggling already to deal with the stress, the pressure, trying to figure out who you are, really setting boundaries comes from knowing who you are, what you want and what you need, and then articulating that to the people you're in relationship with, whether that's friends, families, or your dating partners. And if you don't know who you are and you're so busy and overwhelmed with stress and school and everything going on that you don't have time to even think about that, it's much harder to say, who am I? What do I need? And social media, I think, also exacerbates that hard time setting boundaries. If you're always accessible by all of your peers, all of your partners, then where do you draw the line? When do you say, no, this is the time I need for me? Or I can respond to your text, but I can't be sending snaps in the middle of the night or when I'm studying. Or having the ability and self-knowledge to say no when someone's asking for sexual pictures or things you're not comfortable sharing. It's really, really hard to navigate. And it's also seen as not cool to talk about it.
We talked about the pressure, fast pace, right? The pressure to be perfect. But also, I think maybe people make assumptions about what teens should know or what they do know, right? How do they deal with that sort of pressure?
Yeah, that's why I think we think it's so critical to have the conversations beforehand with teens. Because you'd be surprised what they do know. What they do know is that abuse is happening in their schools. What they do know is that these sexual boundaries are not being established and that sexual assault is happening, that there's not consent, that people are pressuring and using power and control dynamics. Because we see that come up, I'm surprised, with 7th and 8th and 9th graders, the younger end of the teens who I'm having conversations with. They see this stuff in their school. So they do know that that's happening. What they don't know is how to handle it or how to have those conversations. So we have to practice that beforehand. And HopeWorks is able to do that in some of our workshops for schools. But I think also a problem that they face is when they turn to their parents or to other guardians or adults in their lives, their relationships aren't taken seriously in terms of this capacity for abuse and for violence in relationships. So it's about being willing and open to have those conversations, to listen to what the teens do know about what's happening that's not okay, and to give them an opportunity to explore things that parents and teachers aren't necessarily comfortable talking about. You don't want to hear the way that your teen is thinking about relationships and sex, maybe because that's scary. You don't want to think that they're having these experiences that are violent so young. But if we're not having those conversations with them, if someone isn't having those conversations with them, it's, you can't assume they're having the hard conversations about boundary setting and consent by themselves, because that's just as uncomfortable for them as it is for you.
I think what we've also noticed here in Howard County, particularly with a lot of the organizations and boards that we've been affiliated with, is that they're beginning to notice the importance of the student voice. And I think that if that's going to be critical in terms of understanding exactly how teens think and what they think and what they know. One thing that we also know about teens in terms of their health is the fact that they're doing more screen time than sleep time. And so we're noticing that a lot of them are sleep deprived, but certainly it's something to be concerned about in some respects in terms of academics.
I just also wanted to kind of touch base on the social media. I know we were talking about expectations and a lot of the pressures that teens face today, and my initial thought was social media. They're following celebrities and they're following other friends and people around the country or internationally that they may not even know. And you see how they look, you see the different kinds of activities that they're engaged in, some of the people they're associating themselves with. And I feel like while there is good to social media, as there is a vehicle for expression, self-expression with social media, there's also a lot of pressure that comes with that. I'm trying to keep up with the Joneses or follow the latest fads. And I don't know if any of you have any experiences with some of the Howard County teens and the social media and any pressures that they may be facing.
I do workshops for parents of adolescents, and probably the best workshop that we always have is the social media one, where parents are trying to understand exactly what's going on because they didn't grow up in the generation of technology like their children. But I also talk to the teens, and the one thing that I can honestly say that they are concerned about is they may be able to use technology responsibly, but not all teens do. And so then you have the other side of social media where there may be some of the intimidation, the harassment, and things because so much is anonymous. And so sometimes they say that they're having problems with that because what is happening in the community actually escalates in school and vice versa. So it is important to understand that using it responsibly is probably something that also has to be taught.
And I think that in terms of what we're teaching, our students understand that social media is a world that spans across the world, right? And so as adults and as leaders and as community members that work with students, one of the things that's important is that we remember that there is a foundation or an example that needs to be set prior to, right? And so in order for students not to go to social media to look for or to be convinced or swayed on what they should be doing, to setting a foundation of what good character looks like, on what reminding them that they are good enough, that they are smart enough, that everything that they need is in their community, in their home, so that there's not a void that is being filled by social media. It's starting at home.
Yeah, and I think to echo sort of what I keep going back to is like conversations and giving our youth opportunities to have their voices heard, because that helps them identify themselves. And then when they go out there, I mean, the whole thing with social media is you're instantly connected to people. You have this impression or this facade that I know you, you know me. Getting everybody connected instantly in that world, you do and say things and you assume that connection that's not really there, maybe with a person you've never met. And so I think that giving the youth, again, kind of building along that continuum, because it's here, having the conversations, giving youth opportunities to talk about things, because I do think that that's something that youth are craving. It's just they don't have enough opportunities to talk with people, to be with people. And so you have to respect their need for social media, but you also have to respect, I think, as educators and adults and community members, we have to give our youth opportunities to get together and have the conversations, because then it all then builds that respect for themselves and respect for others when they're interacting that way.
Are you also hearing from them that they, the same thing that you're saying? Like, these are the same pressures that they're dealing with, that the pressures of social media, pressures of academics, of sex, relationships?
Definitely everything that we have talked about has been mentioned. I say one of the larger things that also has come up, but this idea that oftentimes students feel unheard and feel like they while they have the answer, their answer won't be listened to or is not being listened to. And so it's always cool for me in the work that I do. As part of my job is I work with the county commissions and boards and place students on those boards, right? And so when adults are super surprised that they have a student sitting alongside with them doing the work of the school board or doing the work of the transportation commission, being able to hear our students out, right, and listen to them and give them the opportunity to be involved and engaged. If you give them that opportunity, then most adults or all adults will hear kind of the trends and the issues that we're talking about. If you ask, know that they have an answer. You just got to be willing to hear and accept that answer.
In talking with students, they also mentioned, you know, here in Howard County, transportation is a huge part of the fact that getting from one side of the county to the next, Howard County is not the easiest place to have that kind of movement for young people, particularly if you don't drive. So that's something that has come up with some of the organizations that we've been working with. And in addition to that, the stress balancing academics and social is huge for a lot.
Yeah, I think that ties into the feeling that teens have that they need to be perfect or have to aspire to a certain level all the time. And one thing that I don't think we've touched on yet that I hear a lot from the teens I work with is the relationship between social media and body image and that need to aspire to a perfect physical ideal all the time as well. And that's just reinforced again and again by what you're interacting with on social media. And also for what we focus on at HopeWorks with relationships, an idea of how relationships should look like. And oftentimes what you're seeing in the media portrayed as romantic or the ideal is often in fact toxic. Aspiring to something that you think is so critical that you have to have it, but what you're seeing as the goal, whether it's taking 6 AP classes or having this ideal relationship that's not actually that ideal, or this ideal body that you are told is what you have to have, and then not being able to aspire, that can contribute to so many mental health issues, social issues, feeling inadequate or inferior. That is really, I think, where a lot of other issues that teens have starts, that feeling of, I have to be this, but I can never be enough.
So with all the stress and pressures that there are, have you all seen a rise in mental health issues among the teens that you're working with?
I'd say that in terms of some of the things that I've heard them speak of and I've heard parents speak about, and that is because of social media and the tendency to be isolated, that there's a tendency to become depressed. And I think that depression is a big part of what some teens are actually experiencing because of a host of things. It's not just because of social media, but social media does keep a lot of kids isolated.
About 60% of the families that I work with directly have a diagnosed mental health condition with themselves or within their family. And that's just the diagnosed who acknowledge treatment and a, you know, conversation with a provider. I think underlying what I've seen more recently, I think that ties in with the stress is the levels of anxiety, like performance anxiety, test anxiety, because kids don't get the coping skills earlier on to help them face all these pressures. The anxiety issues I'm seeing more and more amongst the population of families that I work with. And I think that just in general, our society almost tends to reward multitasking now. You sit around and brag about how stressed you are, how busy you are, and that's rewarded. And so I think the fact that youth are getting this message from their parents, and then it's perpetuated in what they take on. So, you know, I have girls at home that are 6 and 8, and, you know, we have soccer. We don't have too many activities, but if you talk with my friends, their girls have soccer and Girl Scouts and this and that. And, you know, at that age, what does that lead to when you're a teenager and then as an adult? So that anxiety that's coming from families, I definitely have seen an increase.
Do you think they're feeling more comfortable expressing those feelings and asking for help? Or do you think there's more opportunities there for us to talk to them more about those issues?
Personally, I would say yes to both of those. I think that while, at least from my experience, students are starting to see that they're not the only student dealing with depression or anxiety, right? So being able to have peers that are also going through the same thing makes them more willing to talk about it. But I think that as adults and community leaders and people who work with students, we can always provide more space to have those conversations.
And I too agree. I think there's a generation of children now that don't hesitate to speak about what's going on with them. And I think that that's where our listening skills have to come in terms of understanding that we may have come from a generation where we were hesitant about saying it, or if it were our parents, we just didn't talk about it. I think they're more apt to say something now if they feel as if they're being heard.
What exactly do your agencies do to address each and any of those topics?
Speaking for the health department, in the last 2 to 3 years, there's been a lot of push to really focus on adolescent health, in addition to the child health programs that the health department has always offered, really developing and strengthening the programming for adolescents. So the Teen Health Matters website, the blogs, these podcasts, opportunities for people to come together and have conversations, something that we're proud to be a part of, and I think we have partners all in this room. On October 20th, there's a Teen Health Summit that's going to be held on campus at Howard Community College from 9 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon, targeting specifically 10th through 12th graders, but really kind of our stab at, we've had panels and summits with adults and providers in the community, but this will be the first time we get our youth together. It's not the parents, it's not the teachers, it's the youth. So that's a really exciting opportunity, I think, to start the conversation. Hopefully the first of maybe others to come, but look for information on that for October 20th, the Teen Health Summit.
So HopeWorks, our focus is a little bit more specific. We are focused primarily on teen dating violence, domestic violence, or sexual violence. Teens can access our hotline anonymously. The majority of services, you do need to have parental consent to be involved. But if someone wanted to call our hotline and they didn't give their name or age, they could talk about, hey, this is going on for me, or this is going on for a friend. How can I reach out? How can I help them? And to kind of figure out what possible paths for them could be, either at HopeWorks or other places, before deciding they wanted to get their parents involved, if they need help on those things. We're able to have these conversations in a more broad sense with our community engagement outreach. So we do workshops primarily in health classes for the Howard County Public Schools, sometimes also for an English class. And when we're doing workshops outside of a targeted health class, trying to check off the box of talking about dating violence or sexual violence, we're able to have a broader conversation because we do think that all of these things are connected, right? The mental health issues, issues of power, privilege, and oppression, racism, sexism, homophobia, how these are contributing root causes for violence that impacts all forms of violence, including dating violence and sexual violence. And we do that through those workshops and also through our Youth Leadership Project, which is a more concentrated group that meets September through May once a month. Applications are closed for this year, but high schoolers can look next year if they wanted to apply to get involved in talking about root causes of violence and how to specifically be advocates for healthy relationships and consent and healthy sexuality in their communities.
Our entire Department of Community Resources and Services, in addition to our Office of the Office of Children and Families, those of us that work in the community are actually out there supporting and advocating for young people to be part of organizations and boards. Corey spoke to that earlier, and I think that it's important that people realize when we're talking about adolescents and teens, we need to have them present to be able to help us understand what's going on. When I do workshops for parents of adolescents, I was doing panels at one point, and on the panels, I would always have an adolescent. If you're talking about them, at least have them there to speak to it. Our offices also try and help with volunteer opportunities. There is a need for people to know that we have a lot of volunteer opportunities and the opportunities to go and actually speak to Board of Education, speak to County Council, things of that nature. And I think that that's pretty much what we can do to help advocate.
So the Office of the Local Children's Board by itself is a very unique group. So it's the local management board for Howard County. And so what the Local Children's Board is, the members of the board are our agency directors and a lot of our nonprofit directors and some of our pediatricians and staff that work with agencies that work directly with youth and with families. And so for the Local Children's Board, we're looking at more of a system change, right? So how can we not only on a departmental level implement programs, but change this entire system in which some of the things that are stressing our youth out. So actually on our agency's part, one of the priorities that the Local Children's Board has set for this year is mental health. And so that's directly addressing the issue at hand, but also looking at what are some of the things that are stressing our youth out. And so the other priority is food access and equity, right? Because we understand that while we need to deal with the mental health issues, we also need to deal with the causes. And so those are county priorities. And then we have some state priorities that we're dealing with as well. So we're working with youth who are impacted by parental incarceration, youth who are not in school and not working. And so while on a departmental level we're trying to implement programs, on our office level we're trying to change the entire system that our students and youth are interacting with.
Corey, you mentioned the Local Children's Board and systems change, right? Do you have youth on the board or the health department? I work for the health department, but you know, I'm going to pretend like I don't work for the health department. So Colleen, I know you engage with youth. I mean, any have there been any thoughts about adding youth to some of the experiences or programs or helping to advise some of the program, I'm sure.
The health department, so at least in terms of my programming, the health department programming that we work with, we use focus groups and informal sort of opportunities through different venues to talk with the youth about things, but recognizing that sort of just hits pockets of the total youth population. I think that's the challenge too, because Howard County is so diverse. We have youth from very different backgrounds, and if you go from the eastern part of Howard County to the west and everywhere in between, you have different pockets. And so how do we access all of the youth? Because we don't want to make the mistake of thinking that this group over here in Columbia represents what Western Howard County feels, and vice versa. So I think, you know, we do informal focus groups. I was thinking, as we're all talking, I don't know if, with in terms of the health department's advisory board and the board of health, I think there is opportunities, but I don't know if there's a student member. So that's a question I should go back and look more into.
One of the cool things that the local children's board is doing, in which we're trying to change the culture of government in some ways, is in the local work that we're doing, right? And so it's engaging youth, but also engaging the community. We're saying that, hey, we see this data, we see these statistics, and having the community and the youth tell us the story behind them and come up with a solution together, right? And so some of the work that we're starting to do in the Stevens Forest neighborhood is really looking at, hey, this is what we're seeing and this is what we're noticing on a statistical level. Tell us what it is that you need, or tell us how it is that we can work together, how we can work with your community. And so our agency tries to engage youth and community in that way. But also, like I said, there is a student member on our actual board. So yeah.
I know we've been focusing a lot on the challenges that youth are facing, but what are youth doing well in the community that we can expand upon?
Their ability to adapt and to sort of be resilient with all of the challenges and stressors that I know were different from when I was in high school. I'm constantly impressed with how they are managing and how honest they are with themselves and their peers about things. I think, like Corey mentioned, if you give them that opportunity, they speak volumes, and I really think that just their raw ability to kind of tune in with that right now and to adapt in today's world continually kind of impresses me.
They have profound ideas and understandings of things that I think sometimes adults have a hard time expressing. It's easier for them to express it. I see that. They also get the diversity and inclusion part. I happened to be on the committee for the school system, the Diversity and Inclusion Committee, and we had the student population, and they really came forth with understanding and helping us understand all of the kinds of things that we're dealing with when we're talking and we're looking at data and we're looking at the pockets within our communities and things like that. But they have a different understanding, and some of them will just say, we get this. You know, this is our generation, we get this. And so I think this also, again, it's about listening, providing them the opportunities to hear their voice.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. The teens' ability to identify and speak out against issues of injustice in their communities. They say, I see this happening, this is not okay, and either saying, here's what we're going to do about it, or can you help me figure out what to do about it? I hear stories of the students I work with hearing slut shaming or anything that's perpetuating rape culture and saying, so I saw that and here's what I said, let me tell you what I said. And they're not being quiet. They are speaking out. They're using their voices. And I think that's just incredible, the courage that we see and the absolute knowledge of, when I see something that's not okay, I'm not just going to sit by on the sidelines. I'm going to do something about it.
So let me just start by saying this is my absolute favorite question, because when I think about the work that I do, I don't think that I would be doing it if I did not get to spend a large amount of time with students. And part of that reason is because students are, for lack of better words, amazing, right? And so one, they are different from adults in the sense that they won't accept no for an answer, right? And so if it's, hey, we can't do that, it's, well, tell me why and let me try to problem solve and figure out another way to do it. Which most adults are like, that's not a good trait to have. But when you think about innovation and you think about determination and you think about if as adults I can take that skill set and just put it on the right path, there's nothing that you can't do, right? As long as you're doing it for the positive and not the negative. But in addition to students just being so willing to have conversations that we sometimes don't want to have as adults, right? Or talk about topics or speak to injustices that we see that they're like, no, I'm not going to stand for that. Not in my school, not in my community. And so just a new sense of ownership and pride and just willingness to do the job that needs to get done, regardless of who it, where it started or what the solution is. But yeah, kids are amazing. Youth.
So we kind of touched a little bit about some opportunities, but I'm wondering if you could speak to maybe some specific opportunities that teens can get involved with.
And so one of the things that the county government provides and ran through the Office of the Local Children's Board is we do have a youth engagement group called Voices for Change. So in that group, students are able to come and kind of group think or what are issues that students are facing and students see. Myself and some other adult mentors guide them through the process of what do they want to do about it. So really it's a cool opportunity to see students in action, not only identifying things that they see on the local level that face them or their peers, but actually getting involved in doing something about it and figuring out what are the resources that are available to them and where the problem comes from and things like that. But I think that the key part is just getting involved in something.
Yeah, so at HopeWorks, there's a couple different ways for students to get involved. People often ask for volunteer opportunities. For youth, it's primarily childcare is what we can do. So we've got clients who are coming for clinical services, for legal services, and they bring their kids with them. And so to take care of those kids, give them a break, give their parents a break while they're coming for services is huge. And we have a huge need for that right now. So please reach out about that. Youth Leadership will have new applications out probably next spring if you want to do that for the next school year. And you can also talk to those clubs, talk to those teachers about bringing us to do a workshop, because that's the best way to get us into the classrooms to have these conversations. And it doesn't have to be a full-fledged workshop. If you just say, hey, my group is interested in these issues, can you facilitate a conversation? We would love to do that. And just to continue being the advocates that they already are, I would say, if you see stuff in your community that's not okay, to keep speaking out about it. That's an opportunity in and of itself.
Okay, so before we close out on today, would any of you like to share your contact information or any resources that are available to the teens out here who may be interested in learning more about HopeWorks or local children's board or any kind of programs that you're offering?
Sure. So for HopeWorks, our website is wearehopeworks.org, and that has volunteering information about Youth Leadership Project. We're also on social media, but we have gotten feedback that teens don't use Facebook and Twitter anymore, so we recently started up an Instagram. Don't have a ton of posts there yet, so hopefully you can get some teen followers checking out what we have to say there. Yes, you can always call our 24-hour hotline is 410-997-2272, which is 24 hours. I also want to share another resource that isn't HopeWorks specific, but loveisrespect.org is a great teen-focused dating violence website and resource that I highly recommend.
So the health department does not have Instagram, but we have Facebook and social. Teenhealthmatters.org is a website that was created and maintained to really dedicate to conversations around these kinds of things, connecting to resources. So teenhealthmatters.org would be the first go-to, I would suggest.
And so Voice for Change has a Facebook, Howard County Voice for Change, Instagram and Twitter, HCV4C. And if there's anything that anyone was looking for or needs any direction or assistance, feel free to always give me a call, 410-313-0039.
I forgot to give our handle for HopeWorks. It's always at HopeWorks of HC.
Knowing what you know now, is there anything you would want to tell your teen self?
The biggest thing for me looking back, and as I work with students, is the reminder that it will all be okay. Everything will work out, and some things are not that serious. So, you know, be persistent, stay on the right path, but everything will be okay.
Kudos. But I would also say be encouraged and learn to be resilient.
Let those adults have their moments and talk in the car and kind of pester you, because that's what they need to do. And I think my high school self didn't realize it until I was out of college. Like, that stuck with me. And I think going backwards, you know, you think it just let them have their moments and you'll come out on the other side together.
Figure out what's important to you and find that balance. Your mental health matters, your artistic health, your spiritual health, your whatever you're passionate about, that matters too. And work to find that balance so you have time to breathe and sometimes let go of that stuff that seems so huge, that every single test. Because if you have your balance, the rest of it will also balance out.
If I could tell my high school self something, it would be that it is okay to love myself first. Because I remember wearing myself thin, trying to make everybody else happy. But it's okay to make myself happy first.
I would echo what everyone else would say, but I would just say have fun, right? Because it happens once, right? And you gotta enjoy it, even the hard times, right? Failure is important, right? You learn from that. But try to have fun with life. Try to find the fun in everything you do.
Great. Well, I just want to thank everybody for coming and for all your conversation and feedback, and I think it was great to kind of learn the different perspectives on the issues that our teens are facing today, whether they're emerging issues or things that have been going on for a while. There's anything else anybody wants to say before we close out?
Teen Health Summit, October 20th, an opportunity for you guys to be heard and hopefully give us some feedback on which direction we can head in so that we continue to hear you loud and clear.
Okay, thanks again for tuning in, and thanks to our listeners for always being a part of our conversation.